Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I said I will take a few questions, then we go into our prayers. I know I said some very deep things last Sunday, and also last Friday, I said some things too. Any question? I won't stay too long because we need to pray. Come forward, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Praise is called.
Hallelujah.
I just want to ask this question. That most of the time, we pray the grace.
We do what?
We say the grace.
The grace.
The grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But if we go by John 3:16, God said, I so love the world that I gave my only begotten Son. That I so love the world. If the love of God came first before giving his Son, why should grace come before his love? That's my first question.
You know, I answer a lot of very interesting questions. We say grace. We should have said, may the
love of God and the grace of the Holy Spirit.
I think that question will have been directed to Apostle Paul. Because we are only quoting what Apostle Paul said. Can we read it? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Second Corinthians chapter 13. Okay? This is the way he said it. He said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So what's your quarrel with it?
It's not my quarrel.
What's your question concerning it?
My question is, if the word of God, God himself, said, I so love the world, what I'm saying is that let the glory of God come first. Let the glory of God come first. His love brought the grace. We are just asking, like when we want to say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And let it be the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ.
So what you are saying is, maybe Apostle Paul was wrong. No, I just want to understand you because...
No, praise God. Well, I didn't come here...
No, we are not arguing. I want to understand you. Well, because you can see there is a verse in the Bible. And the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So if the Holy Ghost inspired that, I don't know what you are saying. Maybe it was not properly placed.
I leave the rest to God. This is my question. I rest it in all churches. Fine. Another question I have is...
No, sir. I have an explanation for it.
I leave the whole thing
no,
to God.
I say I have an explanation for
okay.
it. When we say may the grace of God...
No, the grace of Jesus Christ.
Eh?
The grace of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And the love of God, his Father, is coming after his grace.
No, it's okay, sir. Praise the Lord. Well, like you say, so that we don't go argumentative, but we do know that when we talk about grace and we talk about love, they are one and the same thing. It is the love of God that produced grace. And once you are in grace, you are in God's love. So the two of them are together. So it all depends on application. Now when we say that scripture is not talking about the order of importance. But when we talk about the love of God, it is love that projected grace. So grace is the evidence you are in love. Without love, there will be no grace. And you are in grace only because you have...
The love of the Father.
Because the love of the Father
brought grace.
Brought grace.
Then say that love first, and then you say the grace.
Thank you, sir.
Then a story, sir.
Okay.
If I may ask another simple question. We have Holy Melchizedek. Melchizedek is called the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness. That's what the Bible says in Genesis 14:17-21. And when Abraham was coming back for the killing of the kings, he came in before Melchizedek and he offered him bread and wine. And that bread and wine signifies Holy Communion. Again, he's called the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness. While Christ in Isaiah is called the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Righteousness. In Hebrews 5:6, Christ is God said to Christ, you belong to the order of Melchizedek. God himself told Christ, you belong to the order of Melchizedek. Now what I want to find out is, there is no word and no place in the Bible where there is Holy Communion. The word Holy Communion is not used in the Bible. The word in the Bible is the, Christ said, go and prepare the Last Supper.
So what's your question?
My question is, one, the Holy Communion that Christ offered and that of Melchizedek, who is the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness, are they the same or different? And secondly, what level is Melchizedek called the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness? And Christ is called the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Righteousness. How, why, and how has the church forgotten the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness?
Praise the Lord. Can I also ask you, sir, by definition, who is a prince?
A prince is the son of a king.
Not just a son, but a heir.
Yes.
To a throne.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. In Hebrews chapter 7, can we open it?
Yes.
Can we read it? In Hebrews chapter 6, the emphasis there is the priesthood, chapter 5 and chapter 6.
Yes.
The priesthood of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul was explaining that the priesthood of Jesus Christt is not in the Aaronic order.
Yes.
But it is in the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
The Aaronic order needed to change by the reason of death.
Yes.
When the high priest dies, another one has to be appointed again to replace the dead one.
Yes.
Therefore, that priesthood was not an everlasting one.
Yes.
But Christ did not come in that order. But he came in the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
Why? Because his priesthood is an everlasting priesthood.
Good.
But who is Melchizedek? Go to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse, praise the Lord. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. It says, Hebrews chapter 7, for this Melchizedek, King of Salem.
Yes, King of Peace.
Priest of the Most High God. Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. That was in Genesis chapter 14. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First thing by interpretation, King of Righteousness. And after that also, King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Verse 3. This is who he is. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Amen. Sir, who did Abraham meet as Melchizedek? Who did he meet?
The King of Salem. And the King of Righteousness, which in another tongue is God himself.
So Abraham met God himself. Correct? Yes. Praise the Lord. And who is Jesus Christ?
The Son of God.
The Son of God. Yes. That's why he's not king of Salem, yes, but prince of Salem. Yes. And remember that all power, all authority has been given to the Son. That's why when you see me, you have seen the Father. Melchizedek gave what? Bread and what? Wine. To who? To Abraham. That action, God was speaking of something that will happen through the body and blood of his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave us the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Praise God. Praise God.
That is why he is the priest.
Yes. The point I want to bring there, if you mention it, the Aaronic priesthood was the priesthood that was from Aaronic period and times.
Yes.
Which is that of the pastor, the bishop, the evangelist, and the rest.
No.
But then I'm coming.
No, sir.
And the Melchizedek order, which Christ belongs, is the prophetic order and the prophetic priesthood that can never be changed.
Sir.
That is not made by man.
Stand up, sir. Can you be on your feet, sir? No, stand up. No problem. Stand up. We are discussing. We are talking. You know, when you kneel down before me like this, I feel very humiliated.
No,
you are humiliating me. You are an elderly man.
No,
sir. I cannot talk until you stand up. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. So I want to ask you, where do you worship?
I worship in Assemblies of God. At a point in time, God decided recently to separate me. And something happened.
Separate you to where?
Separate me to have my own personal ministry.
Okay, you have your ministry now.
Now, I decided, and I've been asking God, I really want you to direct me and let me know the method and way I should work for you.
Amen. And
so I'm coming.
Yes.
So something happened. I have for so many years been trying to do something, or God has been directing me. I said, he told me and said, don't mind your age and your time. When I will use you. But I get worried. I said, how will I be used? What is the difference? Then he said, I should calm down. That things are happening in the world, happening in the churches. And to the point, when he directs me and starts asking me to look into churches before I came in here. That's what I'm trying to let you know what brought me here.
Yes.
The day I decided, he told me, men have been using children and burying them in the house of God. They have been grinding babies and using them as soap. Things have been happening, revealing to me and to other people who are with me. I get afraid. I say, how do I do this work? Because I don't know which way to make. You are the only one that can establish a church and establish me. And things I'm seeing are beyond me. Until one day, I was holding a paper. And it was a Sunday song. And I saw the very way this place was demolished.
Hey.
I saw the church that was demolished. I read it like normal news. And I was worried. I said in the spirit, I said, how can a human being, even a government, no matter how, didn't they rapport, didn't they discuss with this church before they finally took decision to dismantle the house of God? And when I saw this, and now went into spirit in the night.
Talk to microphone.
Went into spirit in the night. The Lord woke me and said, I want you to go in there.
Amen. Put your hands together now for our God. Yes.
That's what brought me. And the time when I came in here, everywhere was in rambles. It was ordinary canopy and the rest of things. And I came up and looked the way the church was being run and the things that were going on and the administration and the way the prophets and other servants of God are working for God. And as I was inside the church, I was hearing the voice and the instruction of what I should do. That is why he brought me in here.
Clap your hands now, church. God bless you, sir.
So, apart from that, I have not had the opportunity of seeing you because it's not something I have to say in the open, but now I have the chances. The Lord ministered to me that the problem and the situation, even if it's solved, that the people who will help this church are the children. That the children of this church, the little children, has to be the people that they will all go around this very church 7 times when the service is over and pray over the whole entire church, that they will move around the little children while the elders or some other pastors and prophets will follow them. They will be singing and praising God, and they will move around by the corners right around 7 good times. That they will be the people that will deliver this church and it will explode where people will know.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. I needed to know your background, your faith. That's why I asked that question. Because from your questions, I was beginning to place you somewhere else. But now I understand better. My prayer is that the purpose for bringing you here shall be fulfilled in your life in the name of Jesus. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. Can we clap our hands again for our God? Okay, let me hear the sister. Yes, sister.
Pastor, good evening.
God bless you.
I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
Is there anything like small sin and big sin?
Sin and sin. But there is one very, very big sin. Yes, I must add that. Sin is sin. But there is one big sin, and that is the unpardonable sin. That one. The sin that shall not be forgiven here or hereafter. And it's in Matthew chapter 12. It is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. That is the sin that when you commit, it cannot be forgiven here or hereafter. But all other one, sin, not sin. Whether you tip your husband money, married women, or you drop one small lie anywhere, or you're ending in the same place, hell, sin, not sin. Thank you.
Which month was Jesus Christ born on December 24th? Why are they celebrating December 24th?
I think you should ask those who celebrate it, because we don't celebrate 25th December here. Because we didn't see that corresponding with the scripture. Jesus was not born on the 25th of December as far as we know. And we have used the scriptures to calculate, and we saw with the keys we have in the Bible that Jesus Christ was born between September and October. Thank you. Yes, brother, somebody here. I've done that teaching. You can get it on our tapes and listen to it.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Sir, I have 2 questions to ask.
Yes.
But the first one is, sir, it's always bring an argument between me and some believers. Is it good as a believer? Is going to hotel and working in a hotel or having a hotel as a business place, is it a sin? Because it brings
you mean owning a hotel? Can a Christian own a hotel?
As a Christian, as a believer.
As a believer, that is a Christian, can you as a believer own a hotel?
Yes. Also, maybe you work in a hotel.
Or you work in a hotel.
Yes.
And maybe if I ask you also, when Christians travel, can a Christian lodge in a hotel?
Look, sir, understand my point. Because I always argue, because he came to...
No, it's like a hotel is abomination from your question.
I'm trying to, because it's an argument between me and some Christians. They say that going to a hotel is a sin. I said no, it's not a sin. For example, now, if I travel now, or maybe I travel out of the country or travel anywhere, where will I lodge? Where will I stay?
Now, I think why that kind of argument can come up. The only reason is because we know that a lot of atrocities are done in hotel, adultery, fornication, they are done in a hotel. But adultery and fornication, they are done in homes too. So it's not only hotel. And then maybe people drink there and, that place, a lot of things are done there that could be contrary to your faith. Now, we can also say, can a Christian work in a brewery? Okay? Now, but we know that the malt that you drink is from a brewery. Am I correct? Eh? Brewery, there are those that make malt. And some of us, our favorite drink is malt from a brewery. So we have to, place these things very well. Now, you can also own a shop. When you own a shop, you are free to sell anything you want to sell. But you choose what you want to sell according to your faith. Anything that offends your faith, you will not allow it there. I know that there are churches. I used to go and lodge in a hotel owned by the Catholics anytime I went to Abuja. And why I choose to go there is because I know this is a Christian place and I don't expect some of those ungodly things around there. Okay? There they set the rules. I also learned that there is another hotel near Mountain of Fire here in Lagos, inside the town here. And before you go there, they will not allow a man and a woman go until you prove that you are married. And I also know that, of course, you can't enter there with alcohol. They won't sell alcohol. You won't smoke cigarette there. And if a male person is there, a woman comes to look for a male, they won't allow you to go and see him in a room. You will see him in the reception. So what is wrong with a Christian owning a hotel? When you own a hotel, you set the rules according to your faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, what of those working in the hotel? Yes, there are different departments there. If any department you are put in a hotel and it offends your faith, you should resign from it or change. Any job you do that offends your faith, you change. It's as simple as that. There's something Apostle Paul said. Can we open the 1 Corinthians chapter 5? There is a way, there's a statement he put here. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. He said, yet not altogether with the fornication of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters. The statement I'm referring to is the next statement. He said, for then must you need to go out of the world. If you say, because he said, don't keep company with unbelievers. He says that is what you understand it to be. You will then have to leave this world. Because we must dwell and live with them. So he has to explain what he meant by don't keep company with them. The next verse says, if the person is a brother and is involved in these things, he says, stay away from him. But we are in this world, there are certain things we have to do together. Praise the Lord. But my answer to everyone is, anywhere you walk, anything you do that offends your faith, you resign from that place. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, my second question is that, sir, is it right for a Christian, a believer, not to partake attend the traditional rite or the family in the village. For example, now if the father or mother died, that as a believer you will not go in Igbo land, when somebody died, they will say that the grandmother died, they will say that oh, mother will pay this, will pay that, I pay that. You now being a believer, is it right for you as a believer not to do all those things? And the same receiver said, you must complete that traditional right. Maybe if your father died now, you must complete the father's traditional right. But you as a believer say, no, I will not do that because I'm a believer. That in that cause confusion in the village, that is why you must do it.
Well, it depends on the individual. Personally, if my father dies, who will dictate to me how I will bury him? That's why I say it depends on the individual. Because I don't know who will come and tell me before I bury my father, I must do this according to our tradition. Praise the Lord. I am aware that some of you come from very strong traditional settings. Amen. Well, where I come from, when your father dies, his religion dictates how he will be buried. Where I come from. If it's a Muslim, every member of the family that is a Christian will stay away and allow the Christian rites, to be done. Or the Muslim rites to be done, whichever religion he belongs to. That's where I come from. But your own place, if your father was neither a Christian nor a Muslim, and then he was a traditionalist, then wherever he belonged to, they will bury him according to what it is. But they should not involve me because I didn't follow his own religion. So when you people finish, then you allow me to bury him, or you people bury him by yourself. It's pure and simple.
Brother, sir, if that for now, as now, or like we all say now, like now, the grandmother or the grandfather died now, then the village or the village demands that at the culture of the state or the village, the children will do their own right and the children will do their own right. And you now, as a Christian now, you refuse to do it.
Sir, the problem with most of us, and that's the truth, is we refuse to declare where we belong when we become Christians. That is the problem. Who will come to Pastor Moses and talk about tradition to me in my village? With tradition, I will convert you that day to my own. Amen. Why you refuse to declare your stand, then they will declare their stand for you. I don't expect that anybody who says you're a Christian to bow to any traditional rites that are contrary to your Christian faith. I don't expect it. But the truth is, I hope we are Christians. Praise the Lord. I'm also aware that there are churches that your father may have belonged to your mother, like Anglican. Now before they agree to bury her, they will check whether she has finished paying her tithe. That's another tradition. And that is Anglican tradition. So if I am not Anglican, my mother was Anglican, they don't expect me to pay the tithe for my mother to them. The woman is dead now, so ask the dead body to pay now. Why will you tell me to come and pay before you bury her? And if you don't bury her, you can be sure I will bury her. Praise the Lord. But we have not got to people who have risen up to face that. And so I see a lot of people, especially from the eastern part of Nigeria, when your mother dies, you have One of the reasons you cry is not because she's gone, but because of the problems that are confronting you from her death. Traditional one, the church own, the family own, and everything else. Well, God will see you through. We are Christians and we must declare our Christian traditions. And any other tradition that runs contrary to our Christian faith, it shall bow to our Christian faith. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sister.
Yes.
Somebody's calling.
Yes,
somebody called.